from Relay. This is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode number 82. We recorded it on November 13th, 2024. I don't know when you're hearing it. That's up to you. I am the master of ceremonies here at Downstream, Jason Snell. And with me again from the Under the Knife newsletter and Intangible, it is Will Carroll. Hi, Will. Welcome back.
Hi, Jason. Good to be back. Always good to talk with you and get to really think through some of these things that sometimes, you know, we notice them, especially people that are interested in this kind of thing or consumers of entertainment in this modern world or trying to distract ourselves from the hellscape of outside. But, you know, you kind of forced me to think about these things and try to put them together. And hopefully someone out there will learn something or just be entertained while they drive.
Yeah. Or I mean, boy, I hope podcasts entertain you while you drive, or I'm really in trouble. I have heard from some people who really enjoy our venture into deep into Sports Corner. It is. I know not everybody likes sports, but I would say in terms of the transmogrifying of the entertainment business, especially about television and streaming, sports is kind of at the center of it because of the value. It's one of the only things that has live TV as a, as a value. There are so few events. This is what I remember talking to Julia about about CNN and Fox News and MSNBC. And the challenge with CNN is, you know, you can't sign up for a news contract like you can, like ESPN can sign up for the ACC college football or basketball games. Yeah. And it's repeatable and people watch and they don't record it for later. And that's why it's so huge, at least for now, in the TV landscape.
That is interesting. I wonder at some point, might they take some idea? It could, honestly, it's been so partisanized on politics. Could you just divide off and say, hey, I'm only talking to Fox or only talking to MSNBC, or hey, I'm going to do it myself or sell it to Netflix. I could see that in a world.
Sure.
And politics and sports have their own things. Nate Silver, my former colleague at Baseball Prospectus, has kind of taken over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's start with actually kind of about broadcast TV, but it's also about cable and it's also about streaming and it's also about where everybody fighting for money. A funny story, I think. It's interesting, but also funny, which is so many people are still mad about the fact that the NFL allowed ESPN to put 6 Monday Night Football games simulcast on the ABC television network. And I can see why the NFL would do it, because broadcast gives you reach, and that's a powerful thing. And being on ABC is even better than being on ESPN, especially if you're on ABC and ESPN. However, cable executives don't like it because they feel like they're paying for ESPN, or they're making their subscribers pay for ESPN as part of the cable package. And now here it is just on over-the-air broadcast. Where's the value we're getting out of this or extracting from our customers for this? And they feel like they're being undercut and that cord cutting will accelerate. Okay. All right. Okay. Also, the sports right holders, the other NFL rights holders, are a little bit mad. And I kind of understand the argument, but I also don't think it holds much water, which is, you know, your NBCs and CBSs and Foxes are saying, wait a second, You're selling another broadcast package. We thought, what I find funny, we thought we had one of the only 3 broadcast packages, but now there's a fourth. How dare you? And I could sort of see it from NBC, where they're saying, look, we're paying for this premium primetime showcase. It's the big primetime showcase on Sunday night. And now you're just giving them Monday night for free. I could sort of see it there, but really, I don't know. I think this is a weird story because I think it's the NFL doing a partner a solid. I think it's good for the NFL. It should probably be formalized as an arrangement. You know, I know it was done on the fly and that people are grumpy, but in the end, doesn't it make more sense for Monday Night Football to be on ABC instead of ABC having to pay for primetime programming that will not get the ratings that Monday Night Football will get?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, obviously, what this is the pure corporatization of the rights. Disney bought the rights and people thought that was ESPN. But now we've got, functionally ESPN, ESPN2. We talked about your love of the Manning cast last time out. And, we've seen others during the baseball playoffs. I think it was it TNT and True TV, which normally I only have to figure out what channel True TV is during the first week of March,
right,
for the tournament. But this sort of corporatization, I think NBC doesn't have anything to talk about because they also show it on Peacock.
Yeah.
It's just kind of backwards, instead of cable to broadcast, theirs was broadcast to streaming, which is functionally the same thing. I don't think they paid anything extra.
Yeah,
exactly. With Paramount, and Google does with YouTube TV. So, that's a whole different thing with the ticket. But no, I think this is just put the NFL everywhere, see what happens. I saw Yellowstone, the premiere the other night, was both on Paramount and CBS, and I'm sure on Paramount Plus. No, it's actually not on Paramount Plus, is it?
No.
That's the weird Peacock thing.
Because they sold the rights to Peacock, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it won't be on there yet, but everything's, ratings across things and 3 and 5 days. So I think this is just Disney bought the rights and Disney gets to put it wherever. And hey, ABC still exists.
And it's a positive for the NFL. That's the other thing. It's not like, well, we're going to hide this on our service. And the NFL is like, wait now, what are you doing to our product? You're hiding it away. This is like, oh, we want to give your product even more publicity, even more outlet. And I think that they're okay with it. So, I think that everybody's going to need to chill a little bit, and there probably needs to be the NFL, which has a lot of power, is going to need to make everybody calm down. But in general, I feel like this is the way it's going. As somebody like you, I grew up in an era where Monday Night Football was on ABC. That's where it was. And then we had that sort of weird period where then it went to ESPN, and then NBC built Sunday Night Football up as what used to be Monday Night Football. But there's room. I mean, the NFL is big enough. Boy, is it big enough to support two primetime broadcasts. And in fact, we could go further. There's probably more here. I mean, I know that they sold Thursday night to Amazon, which is fine. But like, there is one, a huge appetite for sports, especially the NFL in the United States. And two, every broadcast network would like to get cheaper in terms of not programming nights of original television. Especially scripted, if they can afford it. This is why NBC is getting the NBA rights back and is just going to put multiple NBA games on in primetime every week, because it's cheaper, essentially, than what they would do otherwise. So it feels like this is the future. I did wonder, you mentioned the Manning cast, and we had a great last episode when you weren't here, when Joe was here, we had a great letter from somebody who suggested that Charles Barkley should Manning cast something. That he would be great at that. And I thought, my argument was, right, we said there's only one Peyton Manning, there's only one Eli Manning. It is sort of special. You can't just easily replicate it. I thought that Charles Barkley's suggestion was very clever, because I was like, yeah, that's the idea of identifying a personality who might be able to drive an alt cast in a way that would be interesting. I had that thought about Monday Night Football too, which is, I wonder if it would be a prime alt cast sort of thing. Could you do something on ABC that was different than what was on ESPN? I know it costs a little bit more, but is there an argument there to create a different telecast on cable for the sports nerds than on ABC for the people who are a more general audience? I don't know. It's fun to think about.
It is. They could obviously do this. They could do this now and put something on, what, ESPN News or wherever it is.
They could.
Make it a more mainstream one? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the Manning cast is already doing a lot of this, but I do wonder if they have another, if they could do something else to somehow differentiate it. It doesn't necessarily have to be like CBS doing the Nickelodeon football game or something like that, but I do.
Which I actually like.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Toy Story one, not so much. The technology wasn't there yet. Here's a thought. Would you put Manning cast on ABC?
Well, here's the thing. I think Manning cast has some real technical problems with their I was talking about this on MacBreak Weekly last week with Alex Lindsay, who's a very knowledgeable video guy, and he said they have huge latency problems where they're talking over each other because there's like a second delay between when they say it and when anybody else hears it. And with Bill Belichick, that's become a problem. They said they fixed it, but then it looks like they backslid a little bit. And so I thought about the Manning cast, and what I thought is, you know what? If you wanted to do like a real, maybe it's a playoff game, maybe it's a Super Bowl, I don't know what. I think what you do is you get the Mannings together in a studio or at the venue doing the Manning cast live together. Because that's, to me, that's the biggest problem they've got is it's a Zoom meeting and it's got all of the problems of a Zoom meeting. And if they for something like that, that's a special event, I think, because it's rough. Like, as much as I like the Manning cast, the roughest part of it is that there's just too much latency and they overtalk and it's just a little too, like, I get it. There's no way, essentially, there's no way that you would get Peyton and Eli to agree to travel to a studio every week to do the Manning cast. But for a special occasion or two, maybe you do it. And then I think that would work. I totally think it would work.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the beauty of podcasting. You know, when I first started podcasting at Baseball Prospectus Radio back in 2003, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
The thing was that you could, you know, buy a microphone. I actually went into a radio studio to record it, but you could basically, with your little, you know, MacBook and a microphone, you could put up something that sounded better than AM radio and people could listen to it. And obviously that's taken off. The thing I always wondered is, how are we going to get to the point where that was true with TV? TV is hard. There's cameramen and everything else. But in the 20 years since I was at ESPN, look, when I go in and do a news hit for one of the local stations, there's no cameramen. Those robots are, the cameras are robots now. And there's one guy doing the job of six people. That's cost efficient. We accept Zoom style video now. You know, I remember how much they used to have to pay for satellite time and studio time. And that doesn't happen anymore. No. You just jump on Zoom.
And you can get people in where they live instead of having to send them to the studio, which is a big, like I said, the Manning cast doesn't even happen if the pandemic doesn't happen, because it is using pandemic era acceptance of Zoom video and all of that. Their problem is that for whatever, and this may be a purely technical ESPN problem, but whatever they're doing to fix the latency problem, it isn't working. So they need to do better. But I do feel like they could also do a special occasion where they were together and it would instantly become better. Imagine with their guests too. Think of it like, one way I would say, and this is another way to think of it, Manning cast or not, which is, think of it as a talk show. And I know that one of the criticisms of a lot of, we talk about baseball here a lot, you and I, a lot of baseball broadcasts that are national, especially during the playoffs, but even the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball is a good example. It's sort of sometimes the announcers having a conversation about what's going on in baseball while a game happens in the background, as opposed to being game forward, the game slides into the background a little bit. And you have an interview over here with a player, and you have an interview here with a manager, and you're talking about something that happened on a different team and a different thing, you know, city this week. And that's one of my least favorite things about Sunday Night Baseball, is it is sort of like there's a podcast with a baseball game going on in the background. However, as an altcast, the idea that you could literally make a talk show happening while a baseball game is going on, if the people are interesting, that's great. I mean, one of my favorite baseball experiences is going with a friend and having our ongoing conversation while we're also watching the game. And it can be magical. And so if think about the Manning cast in person, you're basically describing a talk show that's happening while a game is going on. I think that's really interesting. I think that could be something worth trying. And whether it's like you put Jimmy Kimmel on with Monday Night Football on ABC, or
we tried that?
I mean, we did. Jimmy Kimmel is better than Dennis Miller, though. So anyway,
I don't even know if Jimmy likes football. I mean, he would obviously it since he just resigned.
That's true.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, obviously, the Pat McAfee show is the same thing. I was just, I think
exactly
the regular guests, I don't actually think Belichick is that good on the Manning cast. I worry he's very much like Tony Romo was. Tony Romo in that first year was mystical because he seemed to know what plays were coming.
Yeah.
Because he did.
Yeah.
He was in those playbooks. He had played against those players. And now as he's gone on and has done less and less homework, he's gotten less. I think Belichick is going to be the same way. Actually, I think he's going to have a job next year with the Jaguars.
He totally is. I like him okay. When they are talking football, I think it can be very entertaining. I think the challenge there is that then they start throwing off jokes, and again, the latency, he doesn't even hear what the joke is, and then his response comes and they're already saying something else to fill the air, and then it's kind of a flop.
But latency is a multi-billion dollar problem for sports. We haven't talked about it, but
it's true.
Real-time gambling really needs to be real-time. And I know I have about a minute and a half delay for my Xfinity, which is fine when you're watching. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. I occasionally will have my phone pop up in the little dynamic island score thingy, which I love.
Cable has less latency than streaming, and they both have more latency than broadcast, where you're really just dealing with there's still latency, right? But it's just getting it from the truck to the network over the satellite to the broadcast station. But with cable, you add in another relay, and with streaming, you add in a buffer, because they buffer so that because the internet, for those who don't know, internet traffic kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. So they put a buffer in there so that you're never freezing when there's a little ebb in your network connection. But as a result, it gets longer and longer. And Will, I was sitting in my dorm room in San Diego in 1988 when Kirk Gibson hit the home run in the World Series. And let me tell you, he hit the ball on my little TV in my dorm room, and immediately the sound erupted, because it was all kids from LA and the Bay Area. The sound erupted immediately throughout that building and the dorm across from us, and it was instantaneous. Whereas when the Chiefs scored the touchdown to win the Super Bowl in overtime against the 49ers, my friend Lex had sent me a text 45 seconds earlier saying, "I'm sorry." So yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And for the gambling is going to solve this, and then TV will hopefully have this, and we'll figure it out. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It is actually one of the great curses of streamed sports is you are losing some simultaneity, which doesn't matter if you're in a vacuum. But again, if you're I've had this happen before where I mean, I mentioned poor Lex sending me that text, and I knew it was coming. Mahomes is going down the field. We all know what was going to happen there. but I've also had it happen where I've been watching a game and I hear a neighbor where there's like a party go, woo. And I'm like, and then somebody hits a home run. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. So, and for gambling, it's a huge problem, because if you're trying to bet on, and I am not a gambler, but if you're trying to bet on next pitch or even at that outcome or something like that, you can't be a minute behind. You can't.
Yeah. It's crazy. The other night, I actually, you'll remember this from the early days of the internet when it was slow, extremely slow. I actually had Netflix kind of downgrade the video.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of went from HD to SD.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this horror? I can't remember the last time it happened. And I was like, thinking back, you know, you mentioned the 88 home run. I was watching that on a 13-inch black and white TV. Mm-hmm. And if I showed that to kids today, they would call me a witch.
Yeah. Mine was, I think, a 9-inch or 10-inch color TV, but it was super tiny. It was like a sharper image miniature TV. Well, we're old. This episode is brought to you by Tracked, your personal perfect companion for tracking what you watch. We've all got a lot of streaming services. We're all overwhelmed. It's not peak TV anymore, but it's still very high TV. There's a lot of TV. Well, Tracked is here to help you. It is a super smart app. It's got your back and it's got your brain. It's going to remember what you watched even when you don't. Track what you're watching in real time, wherever you are, chilling at home, killing time at the airport. It can act like a matchmaker. It'll suggest new stuff you'll love based on what you've already enjoyed. It will help you discover where to stream your must-watch content, no matter where you are in the world. International traveler, it'll tell you where that thing is in whatever country you're in at the moment. You can keep your must-watch list handy and organized, so it's perfect for that moment when you say, what do you want to watch? I don't know. What do you want to watch? You get Tracked out and look and see it. And if you've ever wondered about your binge watching habits, you're a personal data fiend, guess what? Track can help you with its year in review feature and tell you what you've been watching. I've really enjoyed using Tracked. It is so hard sometimes for us when we sit down to watch something at night after dinner to figure out what we want to watch. And I can't remember. Did we see all of that? Did we finish that? Track remembers, track knows. Boy, it's a big help. And it plays nice with all your devices, the web, Android, iOS. Now, even on the Apple TV, it's like having a TV savvy friend right in your pocket, ready to make your watching experience more fun and hassle-free when you want it to. Unlike a friend who might bug you when you don't want it to, Tract will only bug you when you ask it to. So it's not even bugging at that point. Tract is your buddy in your pocket. Go to tract.tv/downstream and you will get 50% off Tract VIP. That's TRAKT.tv/downstream for 50% off VIP. That's TRAKT.tv/downstream for 50% off the first year of VIP. Thank you, Tract, for keeping track of my TV shows and supporting Downstream. All right. Before we go, a feature that I'm adding to the podcast and that people seem to respond pretty well to last time is stuff that's on TV, our actual picks about the content and things that we are liking that you might also be interested in. Will, you want to go first?
Sure. There are two shows I've been watching. Shrinking is in season two. They've added in head writer Brett Goldstein, who's probably best known for being Roy on Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
It's a very funny show from Bill Lawrence, who did Scrubs and just did Bad Monkey, another great show on Apple TV. Well worth watching. Well done.
So good.
Another one of Apple's great ones. The other one is one a little off the books, almost literally. And I've been watching Grand Designs Australia, which is the home show that started out in Britain. They follow along some crazy people building some crazy house, and sometimes it goes well. Often it doesn't. In the last episode, monsoons basically washed out a house that they were building in the bush. They've had brush fires and everything else. But my big question here, it's a great show. All versions of Grand Designs are great. I don't know why there's not an American one. But I also don't know why I can't watch more foreign shows.
Yeah.
You know, I had to kind of back channel it, we'll call it, to see Grand Designs Australia. The Grand Designs episodes from Britain are usually on YouTube. I don't know whether that's kosher or not, but I still watch it. There's Survivor and The Voice and a bunch of other shows. There are a ton of great British shows that have never made it over here. I know BritBox is a thing. I know BBC America is a thing. But why can't I watch Survivor Australia, which I hear is great? Why can't I watch Traitors?
Survivor Australia was on Paramount Plus for a while, and they pulled it, I think, to answer your question, for very weird contractual reasons. And it's infuriating, right? Like, it's content. Why is it not? I mean, we're all just in the world here. Why can't we see it? And it doesn't make sense. It's very frustrating because you know that this stuff is out there and that there's probably an audience for it. And yet there is something in the contracts or it's not worth. They're like, well, we'll take it for free, but we're not paying you. It's like, well, if it's worth it to you, then maybe you should pay.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, my example that I mentioned before on this podcast is Taskmaster, which has done many different versions in different countries. And in the end, they tried to put it on the US and they tried to do all these things and they finally gave up. And now they have a YouTube channel. And the beauty of the YouTube channel is YouTube is everywhere. And if you pay for YouTube Premium, they get money from you. And if you don't, they get money from ads. And Taskmaster, there are some limits where it's like a year behind in some countries and all that. But the Taskmaster YouTube channel has everything. It has the current season. It's got all the New Zealand seasons, or it's slowly adding them, and all the Australia seasons, and it's got Sweden, and it's got all these different versions of Taskmaster. So they've obviously decided to do it this way. But I think that's the challenge, is that maybe a lot of these rights are being held onto with the like, but what if somebody pays us for these rights? And it's probably they probably should make deals and get their stuff seen everywhere. Or is it that the owner of the Grand Designs rights is afraid to make it available in the United States because they feel that it will depress the price that they're going to ultimately charge to somebody to do Grand Designs USA? It's dumb.
Well, if they want to do Grand Designs USA, I'm not an architect, but I would love to be the host of that show. I would do that. That's a job I would take.
You heard it here first, folks. But right? I mean, you see what I mean? Like I get why afraid of it, but like the existence of Grand Designs Australia on a streaming service or on YouTube is not going to prevent you from selling that concept in the US. It's just not. In fact, it might encourage it. But I share your feelings about this. And I also, I am not one of those people who is like big into wink, wink, nudge, nudge online video piracy stuff. I even get a little woozy when I hear somebody read one of those VPN ads about like, oh, you can change to Netflix in another country. But I'm telling you, when it comes to stuff that is just out there and for no good reason is completely unavailable in your market, go get it. I mean, that's what I used to do with Taskmaster before they made a legit way for me to get it. I used to go to the place that told you where to get the link, that told you where to download the file of the latest episode that was on in the UK because it was not coming to America. There was no way for me to get it. So I just went and got it. And it's dumb. Like, there's better ways. We all have better ways of doing that now. So find them. Don't let this stuff linger.
Yeah. I can remember years and years ago, I went to a concert and the opening act was a band called Guster, who was actually still around.
Love them.
They were good. And afterwards, they were just sitting outside in the stadium. I think it was Bare Naked Ladies that was the opening or the headliner. And they were out there and they were signing autographs for people. They were selling T-shirts. It was actually the band selling T-shirts, which was great. But somebody walked up and just handed the singer a 20. And he looks at him, he goes, Napster? And the guy nodded. And I was like, that's how it ought to be.
Wow. Love it. Love it. All right, here are my picks.
What are your picks, Jason?
TV Plus, again, Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus doing a lot of good stuff. Silo is coming back. If you haven't seen Silo. The first season, it's really good. And I did have that moment where I thought, oh, this is like a post-apocalyptic drama where they're going to have their own society and there's going to be fighting. And it's like, how many times do I need to? It's actually really good. It's very well done. Tim Robbins is great in it, by the way. If you didn't know that Tim Robbins is in it, Tim Robbins is in it. He's really good. The whole show is good. Who else is in it? Now I'm gonna
Rebecca
blank.
Ferguson.
Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson, who is great. Who else? Tim Robbins and Common. Common is so scary. He's great. He's so great in that. So Silo's back, and if you haven't watched the first season, it's already available on Apple TV Plus.
And it had I'm blanking on his name. The deputy in the first season was the coach from Remember the Titans, and I can't think of his name.
Yeah, a lot of good people. Definitely check it out. It's good. It's based on a bunch of books, and my understanding is they renewed it for a second and third season so that they can tell the entire story. So it's also not going to let you down. Apple's kind of put their money out there and say make the whole thing. It's really good.
Just so they can amortize those sets.
Yeah. Oh man, it is. They live in a silo. It's got like big staircases. Anyway, and I'll throw out there, I know it's obvious, but the last season of What We Do in the Shadows, if you have not tried it, Hulu or Disney Plus with Hulu inside of it, which is where I'm watching all the Hulu stuff now. It is a comedy. Paul Sims is the showrunner, who you might remember if you remember 90s comedies. He did News Radio. He's the showrunner of this, along with contributions, obviously, based on a movie by Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement. So New Zealand aspect, but it's set in America. It's got a bunch of British actors, actually very funny British actors in it as well. It's about vampires. It's a docu-comedy about vampires and the people who love them. And it's amazing. And they did an episode this year called The Railroad, in which they invent a fake railroad. They're beautiful, stupid vampires who are immortal, but very dumb, and they do dumb things. And I could not recommend it. It is unlike anything you've ever seen. It's great. So give that these are my sort of like give these genre shows a chance because they're both punching above their weight. And if you don't usually watch genre shows, give them a chance because you'll like them. I promise.
The movie, I have to shout out the movie because it has one of my favorite lines of all time. We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Yes. Oh, the movie is really good. And I think I don't know if they ended up making it. They were planning on doing a spinoff called We're Werewolves that was just about the werewolves. They did one called Wellington Paranormal that is just a New Zealand TV show about the paranormal police. But you don't need to have seen any of that to just watch What We Do in the Shadows. And you got, I think, 6 seasons of it now on Hulu. So you just check it out if you trust me. And before we go, I've got 2 listener picks really, really quickly. Listener Michael wrote in and said, the CBC series from the 90s called The Newsroom, created by Ken Finkelman. I feel its vibe, Jason, would fit into your fondness for old David Letterman, left to your mothers from the 604. Thank you, Michael. And listener Christian said, I want to give you a tip about an Australian series you probably haven't seen called Upright, starring Tim Minchin and Millie Alcock. It's a drama with a little bit of comedy and one of the best shows I have watched. Two seasons and done. You can stop after one, even though you shouldn't. Love to your mothers from the +46. That's Sweden. If you would like to give us feedback about this episode, suggest things for us to talk about, or pick something, go to downstreamfeedback.com. And thank you. Love to your mothers, too. And that brings us to the end of this show. But if you're not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you missed a bunch of stuff that we talked about in the middle of the show, like about Amazon and the NBA and Unrivaled and the WNBA. And I don't know, there's a bunch of stuff in there that you didn't get to hear because you're not yet a member, but you should be. So go to downstream.plus, because every other episode, most of the show is just for Downstream Plus supporters. You will get full versions of every episode, no ads, access to the Relay Discord, where there are very nice people, bonus shows from Relay, and a whole lot more. So check that out. You can find me at sixcolors.com. I appear on many other podcasts here at Relay and over at theincomparable.com. And Will, tell people where they can find your stuff.
You can find me at undertheknife.substack.com. Things have slowed down just a little bit for baseball season. Nobody's getting injured, but they're all having surgery. So I'm covering that and nice. Getting ready for the winter meetings and the big signings of Juan Soto and Roki Sasaki.
Yeah, for sure. And if people are curious about Intangible, we said this last time and people were like, how do you spell that? NTANGIBLE.co.
Dot co.
Leave the M off. Will, thank you so much for being on Downstream again.
Thanks for having me on, Jason. I really enjoyed it.
It's great as always. Hope to see you down the road. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Once again, we really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.